America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Party Down, Season 3, Episode 4 is over, but we're just getting started here on Post Show Recaps. I'm Dr. Amanda, and actually, Chilby Chillington's the name, and Chilling's the game. Emily, how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm thinking either Matchbox, Blink, or Bizkit is, you know, my thought process.
Yeah,
here.
You're real 90s, baby. I can tell. Yes.
But I do love Sting. Yeah, I do love Sting. You know, 17 Grammys. We can't disregard that.
Give the man some respect. 17 Grammys. Mm-hmm. The legend Sting. We are here to talk today about the Party Down episode called KSGY95 Prize Winners Luau. But before we get to that, I just want to remind everybody up front, if you're just joining us today for our Party Down recaps, first of all, welcome. Welcome to the party.
Yes.
We're glad you're here. If you are a Party Down fan, we have recapped all of seasons 1 and 2. You can go back into our archives and check that all out. And you can do that by following our RSS link, postshowrecaps.com/partydown, or by searching Post Show Recaps Party Down in your podcatchers of choice. And please do subscribe to the podcast. It definitely helps people find us. And, you know, Emily, I've been telling everybody to leave reviews of the podcast. And, you know, I have been saying it. I can go back to the tape. We have actually recorded it. Mm-hmm. If I was really clever, I would edit that in here, but I don't think I need to do that. I've been telling people to do that. And I have a feeling, Emily, that people are listening to me and they're thinking, she's not talking to me. She doesn't want me to review the podcast. Like, why would she want me to review the podcast? Oh, you know, Amanda and Emily know that I think they're great. I don't have to leave a review. But, you know, Emily, I don't know that anybody thinks we're great.
We need the comment cards. We need to know.
I need to know. I need that direct
RDD
feedback. It is an RDD. That is a Ron Donald do.
Yes.
It's an RDD that's a Ron Donald do. It's not an RDD, which is a Ron Donald don't.
Correct.
So please do, if you're listening and you're like, oh, they're so great, you have to tell me because I can't hear you. This is a one-way medium. I can't hear you. If you're saying it to your phone, you actually need to go and use your little typey fingers and put it into the Apple Podcast review. So that's just my little pitch for that. You can leave us your star rating. Star, it sounds like stars, and Party Down is on stars. So that's a really easy way to remember it.
Listen to you. I love it. I love this. This streamlining of information. It's great.
Yep. Just wanted to get all that out there because I have a feeling I just haven't been very clear about it. I'm trying to work on that. We're going to jump into our episode today. First of all, how are you doing, Emily? You just catered an event, didn't you?
I did.
You texted me about Party Down kind of happenings in your real life.
I did. I catered an event this week, and I texted you, Dr. Amanda, that some of the cater waiters were reciting Shakespeare lines to one another, and I thought that was just extraordinarily on the nose, considering
Was this the not on your wife's opening night, or?
They weren't talking Othello, but, there was a lot of recitation happening, and I think it was from college days of acting, and, you know, everybody was very young at this particular event, very wet behind the ears, really eager, not beaten down by the world the way that everyone is 10 years, 12 years, 15 years into catering, the way that me and some of my other colleagues who are a little bit more experienced feel.
Mm-hmm. Was anybody like live streaming the event?
No, I haven't caught anybody acting out or trying to promote products on their phone.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't really know though. There could be some TikTokers amongst us. I haven't really asked.
They're everywhere.
They really are. They're everywhere. But it was just so funny, and I had to text you right away. I was like,
well, I'm so glad you
wouldn't
did.
Believe this.
I'm
yeah,
so
it was during speeches. So yeah, everyone had a little downtime, and it was very, very funny.
Well, that's great. Definitely feel free to pepper any of your real life catering observations, as always, into our recap of the episode, because we love when those parallels exist.
Yeah.
So we're going to jump into the plot here of the KSGY 95 prize winners Luau, which is one of those West Coast radio stations. Those are the ones that start with K, mm-hmm. I've learned. And this episode was written by Deo Desokan and directed by friend of the podcast, Ken Marino.
Yeah, I think he did a great job. This was one of my favorite episodes, I think, so far. It's really excellent.
This was an incredibly fun, very funny episode. I think that the other episode that Ken directed, I think the only other episode that he directed is the Constance Carmel wedding episode.
Yeah, that seems right.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a really excellent episode. So great job, Ken. I know yes. you're listening.
Ken.
And the event that Party Down is catering here is a luau for the winners of VIP tickets to a Sting concert. And the radio station that is sponsoring this is Soggy KSGY 95. But it turns out that these
Very
guests
moist.
Are not actually going to a Sting concert to hear their favorite Police songs, but they're being busted by the actual police in a sting that was set up to attract deadbeat parents who are delinquent on child support payments. Emily,
yes.
I looked into this. This is a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing. Absolutely.
So I did not know about this. Like, so apparently it's a kind of tried and true police method to like do this kind of honeypot sting by offering free tickets to like a football game
yeah.
or a concert or something. And then there's like the bait and switch when like these, you know, deadbeats decide, ooh, free tickets. And it's like, no, you're actually going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember what I was watching earlier this week, but I was, it was actually a real example of that. It was like some true crime thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. That's the episode. So it was very funny to kind of think about that. But yeah, this seems to be a technique or you know, a trusted move by police to capture people that are otherwise evading a lot of laws and very
right.
difficult to pin down. I think this is one of the funniest things because it's like Sting. And you're catching like all of these deadbeat parents, but it's like yacht rock that they're
right.
playing at this event. Like it's not Sting related whatsoever. It's not like they're playing old police songs or
no,
anything or some
yeah.
of Sting's 90s hits, which also probably wouldn't translate with this particular crowd, given
yeah.
that they're more Blink, Bizkit, Matchbox types.
There's a lot of things that don't really fit right about
which
this
I love
event.
It. Yeah, which
but
I
like,
love so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, yeah. So the vibe is Hawaiian luau. There's lots of Hawaiian shirts, which are
yeah.
like very fun for what ensues. But you'd think that's a little bit more of like a Jimmy Buffett kind of
right.
vibe. I don't know. You said yacht rock. I think that fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they're playing all yacht rock hits. It's
not really like in the Sting type of oeuvre there. And then and then at the same time, I mean, this is comes up as kind of a running thing, like first when Saxon and Lucy don't know who Sting is because, you know, they're representing sort of the younger generation
right.
of caterers here. And then as Bobby Moynihan's character, Sergeant Matea, is going to like bring up like, yeah, you guys are like more into Blink and Matchbox and Bizkit. Like we're in a new, you know, we're in a new generation of deadbeat parents who have no connection to Sting, Emily. It's just, it's not what the game has changed. It's not what it used to be.
Missed the mark.
Mm-hmm.
I think what would you anticipate a Sting crowd would look like these days, right? Like someone
wow.
who's wearing like a Pentagon like necklace and like maybe like flowing shirt,
I mean,
maybe some like
Sting.
Linen.
Yeah, Sting is
like the
like...
beach isn't a bad idea. I think that you could get like, you know, beach adjacent type of flair, but it's more of like a hippy dippy crowd than
how old would you guess Sting is?
Sting's probably like what, early 60s?
He's 71 years old.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Well, you know what? He keeps fit. He does all
He's known for practicing like tantric sex.
I was just gonna say, yeah, like tantric moves. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Wikipedia. New wave. It's new wave. Like I think that the natural constituency for Sting is like not necessarily the concert going type. Like, I mean, maybe like people in their like 50s and 60s would go to a Sting. Yeah. I do love Sting.
I got a Sting album because I loved one of his songs on it. You know, when you couldn't not buy, like you couldn't buy singles. You had to buy like the full CD for one of those. What was those like mail in CD?
The 99 CDs for a penny.
Yeah. It was like 12 CDs for $10.
No, my parents would never let me do that. And I would be like, Mom, look, like, just do the math. Each one of these is a $16.99 value, and I can get. And she was like, "It's a scam." And I was like, "It was so frustrating to me that I couldn't convince her." I was like, "What is wrong with this woman?" It's like the math adds up. It's brilliant.
I think I strong-armed my parents into letting me do that like once or twice at best. Wow. And like, I'm trying to think of other CDs that I got. There was like a Natalie Merchant one because I was like, "There's a good song on this," and then it was like Bush and Blur and like all these other bands. So that was like this weird eclectic mix because I liked like individual cherry picked songs from each of these albums. But yeah, I'm not the part of the Sting crowd, guys. I'm not that old. Like,
yeah. I mean, I don't, when I say I love Sting, I did like The Police a lot.
Yeah.
So when I was in high school, I like almost exclusively listened to like classic rock that was more of my parents' generation kind of music. I was sort of that type of kid. So I have a lot of fondness for The Police, but Sting's solo work was like, I mean, that was like, I don't know. I kind of, but anyway, I mean, it would be like a free, but you don't pass up free tickets, Emily, like free tickets to a Sting concert.
Would you go to a free?
No,
free
I don't want to.
You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. But you know what? You're a very responsible parent. So maybe that says everything.
Exactly. It's not for me. It's not for me. I mean, the luau though, like, are there like, there's free drinks at the luau looked kind of fun.
It did look pretty fun. And the best part about it is that like everyone's hanging out with each other. Like they all act like they know each other. Like even the extras are like waving to each other. Like, hey, does this mean there's a network of deadbeat parents that just know each other and we just don't understand it? And like, this is how you infiltrate?
Maybe. I mean, maybe they just kind of naturally have an affinity for one another. But like, maybe there's a group chat, Emily. Maybe there's a Discord, a deadbeat Discord.
Yikes. That's so bad.
We have some really great guests. Stars in this episode. I already mentioned Bobby Moynihan from SNL, who plays Sergeant Mateo, who's really, really funny here. I'm not a big SNL person, but like I understand that Bobby Moynihan does like a million impressions and is very,
he's
very
great.
Funny.
Yeah. One time I went into a doctor's office and he was sitting in the waiting room.
Whoa.
And I like, you know, you're in a waiting room.
Really,
at a doctor's
it's not
office,
really a place like, where you want to be recognized.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know. So I just like played it cool. But I remember getting home and being like, I just saw Bobby Moynihan like at my appointment. And Josh was like, you did?
That's exciting.
Great New York moment. We love those.
Judy Reyes is here. Yes. Who's best known to me from Scrubs, playing Lieutenant Sacker, who's the head of this operation. Also very good. So that's kind of the premise here. And everybody's going to do mushrooms.
That's not like a typical move for catering. I feel like everybody doing mushrooms. Nah, I'm not, I'm here to kind of do the temperature check on what's realistic and what's not. And I'll say right now, at least I've never been in a situation like that. And you know, I don't know if I'd feel great about it either.
You seldom have the volume of mushrooms to share in a group like eight people.
You're
like,
right. No one brings like a gallon Ziploc of mushrooms.
Yes.
To
I think that's a key component here that like you're not usually awash in psychedelic mushrooms, at least in my experience. Like it's a little bit of like a pricier, harder to come by item sometimes. So, Evie coming in here with the connect and the means, and she's got like a good, healthy helping.
Yeah, she does. I mean, maybe it's because she's got these franchise movies sort of bankrolling her lifestyle, you know?
Like, I would imagine, yeah.
It's like Animorphs, but not. It's like trees and stuff.
Yeah, we'll get into that. That was an interesting little wrinkle here. I want to say, so I already listened to the Pretty, Pretty Good podcast with our friends Alexander Chester and Av Sinensky is now covering Party Down. And they had Ken Marino as a guest to recap this episode.
Oh,
with
really?
Them, yeah. Which was really fun. I appeared on their Postman podcast last week to talk a little bit more about episode 3 of this season. And that was really fun. So I encourage you to check that out. But the inside scoop from Ken was that these psychedelic mushrooms were actually dried eggplant.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Very interesting. Just to be able to like eat it on camera?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I mean, like, so they could have done actual dried mushrooms, but I think that those are like pretty, like, that's a lot of umami to eat like a dried.
I mean, you could, but it's really hard to chew.
Non-psychedelic mushrooms.
It's probably really yeah. hard to chew, and yeah. that's why they didn't do it that way. So yeah. I'm thinking from the perspective of something that can be dehydrated and mm-hmm. easy to kind of like get through, even if it's just like a quick bite or two that they're right. actually filmed chewing. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love a dried eggplant, a fried eggplant. I'm a big eggplant person.
I am too. I love eggplant.
So that's the inside scoop on that. So there is some of I've loved in season 3 how Party Down is like coming back to some of the themes that it really dove into in the first 2 seasons. And here I really just like how they're bringing them into like a new phase of life for some of the characters and mm-hmm. also like a new time. So we're going to have Kyle sort of grappling with what it means to be an artist and to sort of struggle with his lack of success at this point in his career, now that he's a little bit older, and this whole following your dreams versus being practical. Roman is also going to speak to that a little bit in this episode. And then this is like a Party Down drugs episode. And I really think that like no show does a funny drugs episode the way the Party Down does.
Everyone just has their own journey on this episode, and it's mm-hmm. it's just really funny to watch and see how they weave in and out of each other's paths throughout the whole episode. But I think watching Saxon specifically, especially at the beginning where he starts to feel, you know, the effects of the shrooms, is so funny. It's really great. Like when he just like peeks into the bar and he's like, I just saw a bird.
It's so good. Or like sneaks out from behind like a dried palm tree. It's like everybody does such a great job. Yeah. I can't wait to talk more about that. We have everybody's different journeys coming up in the rest of the episode.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay. So, let's start with Henry and Evie, because they're going to sort of drive the action here. We needed an excuse to get Evie back in the mix. Like now we're in our kind of typical Party Down rhythm. Like I mentioned last week, it's nice to have everybody on site in the bow ties working the event, even though it means that it's harder to integrate Lydia and Constance. And again, I'm missing them in this episode, but it does feel like the Party Down vibe when everyone's working the party.
Yeah.
But we need to have Evie there. So she just is kind of like tagging along. But Evie's like come up with a really good cover story to explain why she's there. She says to Henry, you're you, but I'm a consultant analyzing your paper products use cost flow. And then Henry's like, or you can just say that you're with us.
And I gotta say, she must really like him a lot to want to tag along to an event like this, because like, you're just supposed to just, I don't know, stay out of the way and kind of like be a wallflower, and she's down. She wants to hang out. She wants to see him and spend time with him, even though he's bartending the whole time. And, you know, you see everyone just kind of be like, yeah, sure, cool. But then when she pulls out the shrooms, everyone's like, oh yeah, sure, cool. Yeah, we're into this.
Yeah, I mean, I love this, and I'm like loving the chemistry between Jennifer Garner and Adam Scott, and I think that she was really, this was a great Evie episode for sure. But I was watching this and thinking, like, this is like kind of a teenage crush move. Like it's like, oh no, I'll just come. Oh, you have to work. It's cool. I'll just come and hang out. And
I'll sit in the corner. Exactly.
But it's like, if you're an adult, like even if you like somebody that much, like let's say, you know, she has this career, or like, let's say she doesn't have to work that day. Mm-hmm. I would still be like, oh, like I have to like go shopping or run errands, or like I'll go to yoga. Like, I don't, like you just have other things to
do. Like, I'll see you later. Like, come over after you're done.
Rather than just like hang out while your boyfriend is working. I don't know. But I think we're just not supposed to think about it that much, Emily.
That's fine. I don't want to think too hard about it myself. I think it's a great episode. Mm-hmm. We don't need to dive into the inner workings of their brains too hard, but it is cute to see them sort of together and enjoying each other's company.
We just let it wash over us, Emily, like a wave crashing into the surf on a beautiful Hawaiian shirt. That's like, that's what I'm feeling.
I'm here for it.
So Evie has this comically large amount of mushrooms, as we mentioned, and she's going to share them with everybody. So like, I want to get a little bit into each of these characters' journeys here. Starting with Kyle, who's in like a kind of uncharacteristically dejected state. This isn't a way that we're used to seeing Kyle, but he's really bummed out because he didn't get a call back from his Lost Boys audition.
Yeah, he seems to be pretty down on himself and questioning whether it's worth staying in the industry. And we watch him sort of traverse that even while being high, talking to Henry about it. Like, what was it like when you quit acting? You know, it's a relief. Think about it that way. And so he's really exploring the fact that like, maybe this is a dead end job for him. Maybe it's not going to be something that equates to stardom for him, especially after being lightly canceled.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see him like that. And even, you know, in the tent, sitting in the corner of the tent when everyone's kind of getting ready, they're like, what are you doing over there? And he's like, I have a lot to think about. So, you know, he's a little bit more quiet, I would say.
Yeah, he's usually kind of like Teflon, and sort of like his kind of self-confidence sort of deflects any sense of rejection that he could get. But it's like, now he's a little bit older. He had that brush with fame with the Neuromancer franchise, which ends up falling through, and you can see he's a little bit down on himself. Lucy is like, has a completely different take on this. about his audition, she's like, well, they didn't get what you were doing, so F them. You don't need their approval. And Kyle's like, I do need their approval.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
That's literally what an audition is.
Yeah. And I love Lucy's journey here. Just feeling like she needs to expand her unconscious, right?
Expand her creative consciousness. Yes. She's a true artist, which is great to have in this group, where I think that there's like a lot of different takes on like what it means to be an artist. So I really like having Lucy's perspective. Kyle is going to end up taking the shrooms, and eventually he's going to get into this deep convo with one of the guests, and this is Jeff Daniels, Emily. No relation.
No relation.
The other Jeff Daniels. And like, Jeff Daniels, we'll get back to that because he's gonna have a sort of big, larger part in the plot. But he is kind of gonna serve as this like guru to Kyle. And Kyle's like always looking for these characters. Like, I'm thinking back at the Ellison funeral episode where he finds that one guest and tells him to like teach him about the blues.
Right.
Or even like, he loves to say like that he gets what's happening when he never really gets it, but he's always looking for some kind of spiritual direction. And he's going to kind of glom onto this Jeff Daniels, who tells him that, you know, he struggled with these feelings when he had his divorce because he was really defined by his marriage. But then he's learned that it's enough to be, I'm not a husband. You're not an actor. Is a man what he does? No, he is what he is.
Well, he's a criminal is what he is. So perhaps we don't take his guidance too seriously here. But
Kyle loves it. He's like, so basically I am. At one point, like, yeah, he's like, wait, explain it again. And like, but so he's going along with this. This is very important for his journey. Saxon, Emily.
Yes.
Decides to like take. This is like I'm imagining, you know, the Raisin Bran son with the two scoops of raisins. Like Saxon goes in for two like heaping handfuls of psychedelic mushrooms.
And it's everyone's just like, I would advise against that. You've never done this before. Truly don't do this. Bottoms up, throws them back. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think craziness ensues, but he gets really excited. He's like, I'm going to trip on these mushrooms. I'm going to live stream the entire thing. It's going to be great.
Yep.
It's, you know, it's going to be good for my numbers.
Yeah.
Everyone
it's
will
not
follow along.
Just for the experience. It's for the content, Emily.
Right.
You know, he's the content creator. And can you imagine the numbers if his psyche cleaves in twain?
Live? I just have to say, to be a content creator, it must be absolutely exhausting. If anyone who's listening is a content creator, hats off to you, because like, I don't understand how you guys do it.
Hey,
it
Emily, we're doing it right now. This is content.
I mean, I guess
no, this is more like content for the Limp Bizkit Matchbox 20. Like 182
Thomas is in this episode.
I think that this content is already.
What if you found out that Fred Durst listened to us?
Whoa! Oh my gosh, Emily, do you want to know something? Speaking of that era of rock heroes, one of the fans of our Severance podcast is the bassist from Weezer. He reached out to me to tell me he's a big fan of mine.
Really? Oh my God. How did you not tell me this?
I should have
made it. So
it was it was back. It was back, but it was definitely before we started this podcast. So I don't you and I were not in as frequent touch as we need to be. So maybe Matt, if you're listening to the Party Down podcast, why haven't you left a rating and review yet? That's what I want. That's what I want to know, Matt. So Saxon is dedicated to his craft, and he is going to take an obscene amount of psychedelic mushrooms. I think I want to give Saxon the award for the best portrayal of a person on drugs in this episode.
Yeah. Like I said before, him like peeking out and being really funny and then flipping out on the beach later. I mean, running around sort of along the coastline and Evie and Henry trying to figure out where the hell he is, even though it takes like 2 seconds in real life probably, but you know it takes them like hours to track him down. Love it. I think it's very funny.
A bird just looked at me a certain way.
Yeah, like that killed me. I think his facial expression is dead on. It's perfect.
So good. Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
Evie like is very, she has like just those warm maternal vibes that we talked about when we first started talking about how Jennifer Gardner like fit into this cast. Like to me, she's like always that like preschool teacher or friend's mom who like has the excellent snacks and is like so nice to go over to their house. Mm-hmm. She wants to keep an eye on Saxon, like always the maternal one. And that's her mission while Henry has to attend bar and he's okay to part with her because he's got a shirt going on.
Yeah. No, she's really great in this episode. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it also lends itself to being something where if it's Saxon's first time doing this, it's helpful to have somebody who's a little bit experienced be more or less your Sherpa through it. So she thinks that she's going to do that, but then she loses track of him herself quite a few times.
She gets distracted by a bush that has a style all its own.
I just love how she really spirals at one point with Henry, and she's like, "I'm the worst person. Like, think about it. I there's nobody worse than me." And he's
she's like, "I love Stalin,
Vlad the Impaler, John Krasinski,
from The Office. No, Ted Kaczynski. I like what she says. She says, "I lost an entire guy," which I would argue actually losing an entire guy is better than losing only part of a guy.
I guess so.
If you lose part of a guy, that means that the guy has been separated into parts. If you lost the whole guy, he's probably intact somewhere. You just don't know where he is.
Yeah. The other part of that guy that's not lost is probably pretty upset about the part that is lost. Exactly. Never considered it this way, but thanks for bringing this to my attention. No, we're expanding my conscious too. Do you like that I said expanding my unconscious earlier?
Hey, I think you expand them both at the same time. Like, just, you know,
you might have crazy shroom dreams when you when you pass out at the end of the day. Who knows?
It's all proportional. That's what I think. So Evie is having like a lot of revelations about her life. Like, not only is she disappointed when she loses Saxon, but it also becomes like Saxon becomes a metaphor for her, where she is at this point in her life. So she says, "I'm me. Saxon is my younger self who's interested in new ideas. And I got distracted by a bush, and the bush is money or approval. And this is like kind of distracting from the more important message, like mission right now, which is actually finding Saxon." So, they're going to eventually, after, you know, following his stream and seeing that he's in a blue tube of consciousness, and then
AKA a porta potty,
and he's going to run out of the porta potty. And anyway, like, one thing leads to another. And they find that he threw his phone in the ocean because the numbers just kept getting higher and higher. And if you know, so he couldn't be around his phone, and they have this culminates in this really funny moment where they all see each other on the beach and they're all like tripping out of their minds. And first they're like screaming at each other, and then the screaming sort of turns into this like kind of chanting and like meditative chanting.
They sound almost like they're all trying to like hit these like bass notes that are like very reminiscent of like a Gregorian chant, almost, where everyone hits like a similar tone and like home
exactly
before they like start chanting.
Yes, they're opening chakras, I think. It's a very funny scene. So Roman is initially reluctant to take psychedelic mushrooms. He says, "Alter my brain chemistry with poison fungi, pass."
So maybe he's got a point. Have you watched The Last of Us?
This is actually like a callback to the episode. Oh, I think that this was also in the Ellison funeral episode, where we find out that Roman had written a script about sentient mushroom people.
That's right.
A sentient fungus. So he's been really working on this idea and being skeptical of this fourth kingdom of life.
He's
for
got
quite
his,
some time.
Yeah, I mean, his vlog and his writing, it's on the pulse of modern media. All the stories that are coming out. Unbelievable.
So he ends up getting bullied, peer pressured into taking the mushrooms. Lucy kind of like gets in on it. Like, he needs to expand his creative consciousness. He hasn't written in years. And like, what's up with his opus? He's been working on it for 10 years now. And Evie asks if that's a long time for an opus, to which Roman replies, "It's half the time Michael Crichton spent writing Sphere, and that's not even an opus. It's just Sphere."
He's got a point.
Now Roman is more focused on his vlog because, you know, he's car, money, positive affirmations, all the things that he doesn't get from writing, which Lucy calls out as bourgeois bullshit.
Yeah. But you know what? That's Roman, and he's sticking to his story, although now he's going to get a little bit high.
Yes. Because now he's been bullied into taking drugs. So Roman takes the shrooms, and he gets really, really paranoid. And this is just a thing that it's you have to like imagine that this is like a situation where like he's high at work, which mm-hmm. is like presents challenges, but
correct.
The fact that this party is not what it seems.
Even though nobody knows.
Nobody
right?
knows it.
Except like, we find out Ron does, but you know.
But it's the kind of thing that even if the party was a very straightforward situation, if you were tripping on shrooms, things would start to freak you out. It's kind of like a nightmare scenario to be on shrooms in this particular situation. So he's getting paranoid and he's noticing things like the way that the sponsors are acting, and they seem to be looking around and looking at him. So, you know, he's going to confide in Henry and Kyle that he thinks that there's something weird going on. And they just laugh at him for being paranoid. To which Roman says, so much for the so-called drugs camaraderie.
And they're like, that's not a thing, actually. Which is upsetting for Roman. Yeah. But
like,
you know,
we just bullied you into doing this, and now we're going to make fun of you when you have a bad experience.
Do you not know us? Like, mm-hmm. that's how we operate with
we're
you.
We're emotionally 17 years old.
Yep.
So a couple of those radio people take Roman to the sponsor tent. There's a funny line here where Roman says, why is he holding me so tight? And Bobby Moynihan just says, he's a strong man. That's why.
Yes, but it's revealed in that moment mm-hmm. that Roman might be the guy to nail Jeff Daniels.
Jeff Daniels. Yeah.
He was able to, you know, make that it was all cops that were sort of, you know, tailing him or noticing him, even though in reality it was just him being super paranoid on shrooms. So, you know, he's sort of enlisted without really having much say whatsoever that mm-hmm. you need to find out more details about Jeff Daniels. You've made contact with him, and he's like, why can't Kyle be the one to do it? He's been talking to him a lot more. And they're like, oh my God, that guy, what an idiot. Like,
yeah, there's a really, really funny like thing where you start to hear the cops have like such disdain for these cater waiters all being kind of these like vapid, unemployed actors. You know, they're going to, you know, ask Roman if he's an actor. And this funny back and forth happens where he's like, well, does he look like an actor? And I think it's like one of the cops says, well, maybe he could be a character actor, you know, somebody who plays nerds or sad sacks, or, you know, the guy who looks up before the comic,
which is like the perfect characterization of Martin Starr. I mean,
nerds,
we gotta love it
bad
for,
sack,
yeah, for what it's written for. Right. And you know, he probably read that and was like,
so funny.
Yeah, but I think that's just brilliant writing right there, and the way it's directed too. Hats off, Ken.
Very, very good. And so, but Roman says, you know, no, he's not an actor. He has a blog, Issues and Critiques. And they're, Issues and Critiques. We have a real thinking man here.
Yeah, that's why you figured us out. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why we have to have you do this. And I just love the way that Ron keeps inserting himself, where he's like, mm-hmm. hey, I just saw that you brought Roman in. Like, do you guys need me for anything?
Yeah, I'm,
like,
I'm here too.
Get the hell out of here. Like, get us some like coconut shrimp or something. What is it? Shrimp with pineapple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we find out that Ron has kind of been in on this all along.
And, sworn to secrecy, though.
He's going to insist that they made him like a special, they made him a special deputy for the day. And they're like, we never did that.
They're like, get out of here. Bring us some food that's good. Don't bring us any of that weird stuff that Lucy's been making.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Roman's given his mission, and he is going to eventually intercept Jeff and Kyle's deep conversation and get the information that they needed, which is the make and year of his car, the 74 Chevy Nova. So now I want to jump into Lucy's plot. I think this is another really, really great episode for Lucy. It's really like it's Lucy and Saxon, I think, are just both fit so perfectly into this universe. Like, it feels like, of course, these are the two characters that mm-hmm. you add to this group. And it's like happened so seamlessly that, you know, I think it's the diff. I think it would almost make you underestimate the difficulty, I think, of adding new characters.
Yeah,
to the cast.
For sure. Yeah, definitely.
Well, especially
they have very
after
good
this
chemistry.
Length of time, like, and for them to fit in so well, it's really incredible. And I think that they're both bringing new things that, you know, to that ensemble that were not there, and also while amplifying all the great things that were already there. So I've been loving both of them. So Lucy's motivation for taking shrooms, which, you know, she was very down to do, is because she wants to access some expanded creative consciousness today, as you said, Emily.
Some unconsciousness. she loves to be inspired by the work and wants to figure out some new techniques, some new things to really present to the partygoers, not just regular food. She wants to find something that's bigger than her and really contextualize it in a way that can be passed around on a tray, but really interesting and keeps you guessing. So
for a laid back luau, she wanted to try a fun crowd pleaser.
That literally looks like the grossest thing you can put on a tray. It reminds me of that meatball character on
Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Yeah. I was like, ooh, I don't think I'm going to eat that.
That's a reference for the Blink and
Matchbox
and Biscuit crowd there. Yeah.
All of you guys doing shrooms in college watching that. Here we are.
Yeah.
But no, what is it? It's like a paper. It's like,
so it's called spinach. spinach.
What is that, French?
Is that Italian, Ron? No, it's made up.
Yes.
She says, so Ron tries it and he says, it tastes like something. Weird. Is it even food? And then, you know, Lucy's like really excited by his reaction.
Yes.
He's like, and then he gets angry. He's like, is it food? To which Lucy responds, it's spiced wood pulp. So paper, basically. It's a fun conceptual piece. Open your mind to see and think in new ways and collapse the traditional boundaries. Ron and Lucy are immediately becoming my favorite pairing, to have them together, because it's really hard to imagine two characters who are at like a different sort of place in terms of their worldview.
Yeah, there's a lot of friction there, I think, because he's just trying to, you know, get the job done, and he wants there to be good food and for there to be a happy client at the end of the day. And she is just there to push and test all of the boundaries. And sometimes it works and sometimes it really doesn't.
Yeah.
And this is one of those times where you're like, nah, I don't think anybody wants to play this game.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. And you know, you can argue that there is a place in the culinary landscape for this type of chef and like attitude towards food, but it's not catering. It's like not catering like a radio show luau. Like it's not this.
Yeah, it almost feels like charades or something where they like put a bunch of like words into a hat and you pulled it out, and or like Mad Libs of like, what are the things that all came together here? It's like luau, sting, you know, finger foods, pineapple shrimp. It's very silly, but I'm trying to figure out. So, you know, there's obviously the wood pulp that's been melded together with like water or something, right? Sort of bound together. And then what are those little things sticking up? Is it dried pasta pieces? That's what I was trying to
think. Yeah, because like it has to be edible. They're not too, it has the qualities of food, texture.
But no nutritional value. Yeah, so I was trying to figure that out from the perspective of like, what has she got in there? And like, oh, all I can think about
pasta,
are those like recyclable or like, I don't know, more eco-friendly paper towels that you get in like a public restroom that like don't do a good job absorbing any water off of your hands. Do you know what I'm talking about? Tools and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, kind of like molding it together and then sticking it.
My kids have eaten that kind of paper towel before. So
I mean, how do they feel about it? Were they like, wow, we should be passing this around on trays?
I mean, it's probably under season, but I mean, I think that Lucy spiced it at least. So that sounds like an improvement. Ken, one of the the fun things that Ken said on the podcast with Av and Chester was that he, like, because he directed this scene and he sort of approached it like the Abbott and Costello, like, who's on first, because they have like this a little bit like, is it food? And like Lucy's like, yes, that's the point. And it's like this kind of, is it food? Kind of, is it? That's very, very funny. So after Ron clearly rejects this concept from Lucy, he goes back to the tent and the cops want, you know, regular, like real food. They want like hot dogs and shrimp. But when Rod comes back to the kitchen tent, Lucy's made like several more plates of spinach.
She's on a mission.
And she really wants to know what the reaction has been from the guests. Are people engaging with it? And Ron's just like, no, nobody wants this. And she's like, well, have you not explained the concept?
Yeah. Not the place, not the time.
Yeah.
I just love how he's like, are you high on marijuana?
And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm not high on marijuana. No. In another really funny exchange between Lucy and Ron, he just says, people just want to eat a thing.
It's true.
Yeah. Which Lucy replies, so like a spicelery of pig faces, feet, and end parts salted in a casing tube and fire roasted. Ron says, no, hot dogs.
Spoiler, that's how you make hot dogs, guys. There you go.
Is it food? Is it? It is an interesting question to ponder, you know, Emily.
Very philosophical if you think about it, and take shrooms while you do it.
But there is one person, Emily, who does engage with the spinach.
That's right, Roman. And he's like, this might be the thing. This is what I needed. This is the final push. We might be able to finish this here. I might make it.
Yeah. So he's in the sponsor tent reporting to the police the information that he has gleaned about Jeff Daniels. Very competent, by the way, Roman, in his investigation here. And while he is while he's in the tent, he sees the spinach that poor Ron has delivered to the police, and he's really fascinated by it, and it causes him to make a connection between Chevy Nova and Supernova, which is the inspiration that he needed to finally crack his opus. And as he is having this revelation and sort of thinking out loud, Sacker, you know, the Judy Reyes character, becomes really like kind of
frustrated
with him, and she's like, I thought you do a vlog, like what's this opus? And then he says, yes, a vlog is what I do. What I am is a writer, a science fiction writer.
There we are. There. Beautiful. Beautiful.
A man is not what he does, Emily. He is.
He just is.
What he is. He just is. So it's a callback to Jeff Daniels' inspirational words, but it's also a callback to one of my favorite quotes from the season one episode, The Investor's Dinner, where Roman is arguing with Henry about how he's not a waiter. He's a sci-fi writer, and he says, well, I'm a waiter, like Einstein was a patent clerk. Like, it's like that's just what he does. It's not what he is. So I really like that kind of comes back in, and he claims that he's a writer again. But Lieutenant Sacker is so disappointed. She's like, I really thought you were different.
Yeah, that's like a weird take for her, I feel like, but you know, to each their own.
I do feel like they make the cops seem like really kind of aggressive and judgmental, like here, you know, like, I don't know.
Yeah, especially when they came up with a terrible theme themselves. Like the fact that they're like talking about a luau with Sting, but it's like actually, you know, literally a sting. And Sting was part of the police.
They're very, very proud of their puns.
Yes.
It does. I do think that the police here are kind of written to be sort of. Yeah. Unnecessarily like judgmental and aggressive, and I love an unflattering portrayal of law enforcement, so I'm totally here for it. In the parking lot, Roman sees Lucy discouraged throwing out her trays of spinach, and he like is drawn to it and comes up to her and like picks one up and bites into it and is like, "What is this?" And Lucy's like, "Exactly." Exactly. And they just kind of dissolve into this like beautiful little giggle fit together. I really liked this. I do think that there is something like, I think that Lucy and Roman like have some kind of common ground in their sort of like rigidity about their art. Like, you know, Roman with his like hard sci-fi and like, now he's kind of become a sellout with his vlog and his certified pre-owned car. But like, you would imagine like a younger Roman like would be like, is like that might be where sort of Lucy is right now. In her career definitely. As an artist.
Definitely. They don't want to sacrifice their art at all. You know, they don't want to change anything too much, which I think I appreciate in some ways, but also it's like, the reality of this is that you guys are still, you know, working in the confines of a specific industry in a certain way. So you kind of have to bend to a little bit of it.
Yeah, but it kind of also makes them stubborn assholes. Yeah. But I think it's like, but with their principles intact, Emily.
That's integrity.
The most important thing. Yeah. Yeah. One thing that we sort of glossed over was like on somewhere on their psychedelic trip, Henry and Evie like have this moment where they're talking about their prior hopes of creating important independent cinema and how now like Evie has gotten into this like really kind of commercialized big budget studio work and Henry's acting career, you know, never took off. And Evie really wants to give Henry one of these roles in the extended universe, a regular in the extended universe, this Colonel Stryker.
I love it. I mean, it's an interesting pivot for Henry if he were to take her up on this offer. But, you know, I can kind of see we see him sort of like raise an eyebrow at this of like, really? Interesting.
Yeah. Yes.
But then she's also dealing with movie titles that are called like the Douglas Fir and Man Pewter. So
yes. So the Douglas Fir spinoff. The Douglas Fir spinoff is that's a movie about a man who's part tree. His name is Douglas. And
it's like The Happening, except a little bit more animorphs, I guess. Right.
Yes. And the Man Pewter is a man that's part computer.
Ah, Man Pewter.
Yes. So is that not a robot?
I would say so. Yeah, that sounds like a robot to me.
Man Pewter. It's a really unpleasant sounding name. There's something gross about it. I feel like that. Yeah, I'm not a. But
at first, I thought it was pewter, as in pewter, and I was like, "Oh, how does that work?"
Like the metal.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, if anybody can pitch it, I'm sure it's Evie. So we'll stay tuned to hear, you know, whether this new opportunity, whether our Henry can kick the football this time, or will it be snatched away from him?
Yeah.
At the last minute. We have our, So we do learn from Lieutenant Sacker that despite getting the great intel from Roman, Jeff Daniels got away because somebody tipped him off, to which, you know, Roman sort of knowingly says someone owed him for showing him the way. But we learn that Jeff Daniels was not a great guy. He's abandoned four families with kids in four different states that he won't take credit for. And he also stole Roman's car from the handicap spot.
Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So he's really a heartless guy.
Mm-hmm. Was it a Hyundai Sonata?
Literally the best part of this episode is him saying Hyundai. And they're like, I don't think isn't it just Hyundai? It's so incredible. But yeah, that car gets wheeled back in. You know, they're able to catch Jeff Daniels, mm-hmm. and the car is a little beat up, but you know, you can still drive it.
Maybe you can still drive it. Yeah. Not Roman certified pre-owned car. No. These people care very much about their cars. They live in LA,
yeah,
right?
In LA. So,
I mean, you know, you really need a car. So Kyle's, you know, big spiritual revelation is going to be kind of cut short by the callback he eventually gets from the Lost Boys. I'm an actor, back in the game, baby.
Yep. So that crisis lasted about, I don't know, 6 hours.
But hey, if you're going to have a 6 hour existential crisis, might as well have it on a mushroom trip.
That's right. That's right.
And then we end with Evie and Henry talking about how Evie wants to quit the franchise and telling Henry that now that she's only a little bit high on mushrooms, that she was serious about the Colonel Stryker role and Henry could be an actor again. I do want to call out the very last line I think we get is from Saxon, who's driving off in Roman's like almost totaled car. He says, "Hey guys, can you tell the seagull that me and Snap are going to hit the road to Blythe? We're going to get some medium sleeve shirts."
You're like, excuse me? What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, but I love it.
Yeah.
I love MVP. Everything about it.
MVP of the episode for sure. Is
yes. Yes. Great. Yeah. I will tweet that and I will tag Tyrell Williams because this was incredible work. Incredible work. So some other funnies that I took note of along the way Roman is parking in the handicap spot because he has a placard. Carpal tunnel is a serious disability. I'm in pain every once in a while. It's no joke.
Yeah. I mean, all that vlogging, you know, you're sitting on a computer this much and passing hors d'oeuvres, you know, those two things together. That's a lot of risk work.
That is a repetitive stress situation.
Yes.
When Henry, there's a lot of Henry getting lost in different guests' Hawaiian shirts. I mentioned earlier that he tells Evie, "It's okay, I have a shirt going." And then when the guest actually looks at Henry expecting to order a drink, he says, "Oh, this is the front of you."
Yeah, there are little Easter eggs like that sort of speckled throughout the episode that I really appreciate. I think it's very funny and just great writing.
Yeah. Early in the episode, when Kyle is really dejected, Saxon explains he's dealing with some heavy shit. His car warranty ran out.
Nah, more than that.
And I thought that this line was very funny. At the end of the episode, Rod is talking to Roman and he's like, VIP tickets to Sting. That sounds cool. And Roman's like, but they're going to jail.
Yeah, like this isn't a real event, Ron. And you were in on it the entire time. Yeah, like you're still thinking about what
could have been. Sounds cool. And that was episode 4 of season 3, the KSGY 95 prize winners luau. A couple of things, like I said, it goes back to some of these themes that we've seen throughout the episode. I was wondering, so we know that Henry is divorced, and divorce comes up in this episode, obviously. Divorce was also referenced in the last episode. We don't know if Henry has any kids, do we? Or are we assuming that he does not?
I assumed that he did for some reason, but I would say that it's probably difficult to prove now that I'm thinking about it. I think I just assumed because he said all the other suburban dads.
Yeah, in the first episode, he makes a comment about all the other suburban dads. And so I thought he had kids, but now that we're 4 episodes in and there haven't been any mention of the kids, I'm wondering.
Yeah.
But I guess it was interesting that this theme, we have these deadbeat parents. Yeah. And like Henry is somebody who's going through a divorce. I mean, and we know he's paying alimony and not child support.
Yeah.
Emily.
So I think that maybe he doesn't have kids he would have a tough time, honestly, picking up a second job working in catering because that's weekends and nights for the most part. So it would be too difficult, probably. I mean, not impossible, but it would be really hard for him to balance that along with being a parent on top mm-hmm. of it. So
yeah. Yeah.
I'm assuming, it's weird. I just assumed that he did have kids, but the more that you've, kind of spelled it out just now, I'm like, I don't think he does. Makes sense.
Yeah. So. I'm guessing now that he doesn't. I think that, and which makes sense. I think that it would be a little bit cumbersome for Party Down to integrate that into the plot. But again, interesting that we see divorce come up in multiple episodes, knowing that that's what Henry's going through. Emily, ding, marry, kill, Stalin, Vlad the Impaler, or John Krasinski?
I mean, I would marry John Krasinski because that just makes a lot of sense. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I guess in that bunch, he's probably the one to marry.
I guess I would kill Vlad the Impaler because, I don't trust that in any other form.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
Because if you dinged Vlad the Impaler, he might ding you back and, not in a good way.
Yeah. But I don't want to sleep with Stalin either. Position to be in with Vlad the Impaler. That was probably a question that I shouldn't have asked.
Yeah. I don't know if I like that question. I'm going to throw it back at you. What do you think?
How about Matchbox, Blink, and Biscuit?
There you go. That's a better one. Ding, marry, kill, Matchbox, Blink, and Biscuit.
I think I ding, Blink. I don't want to marry any of them. I really don't like any of these bands at all. I do think I want to kill Limp Bizkit, though.
Yeah, I think that's the right move. Sorry, Fred, if you're listening. So sorry.
So I guess I'm dinging Blink and marrying Matchbox, but you could really flip it either way.
I mean, here's the issue. There's a song called Push You Around by Matchbox 20. That's their first single. And I remember when it came out on the radio, my dad was like, I don't want you listening to this. Wow. I don't like the message that it sends.
Good job,
the
Mr.
more
Fox.
I think about it. Dave Fox really came out on that one. Mm-hmm. And the more I thought about it, especially now that I'm an adult, I'm like, yeah, I want to push you around. I will. I don't want to marry that. No, thanks.
Okay. But
I'm sure Rob Thomas is a lovely guy in real life, but I don't like that.
Blink 182 is definitely, I think, the most palatable to me of any of these three options.
There you go.
So do with that what you will. Emily, where can the good people keep up with everything that you are doing?
Emlet, which is omelet with an E on Instagram and Twitter. I am on there just, haphazardly showing you food pictures, the occasional Succession podcast, and of course, talking to you, Dr. Amanda. Now, what about you? Where can people find you?
People can find me at Twitter, where I am at Dr. Amanda R. That's Dr. Amanda R. You can check me out on the Pretty Good Curb podcast last week talking about more Party Down. We're going to be back next week talking about season 3, episode 5, the penultimate episode of the season, Emily.
This is flown by.
It's flying by. It's flying by because we're having fun, which answers the question, are we having fun? Yes. Bye-bye.